From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. A Pennsylvania man, identified only by his initials, SD, is suing the Boy Scouts of America.
So SD is a man now in his 50s who lives in Luzerne County, and he alleges that when he was about 12 or 13, on Boy Scout trips into the woods and other activities, he was abused by his assistant scout leader.
That's WHYY reporter Nick Pugliese. SD says the abuse went on for 5 years and that the Boy Scouts covered it up.
They knew or should have known that this man was a threat to children, and they didn't tell SD or his family, and thereby didn't allow them to take protective action.
SD's lawyers say they found 800 others who were allegedly abused while they were in the Boy Scouts, including 40 in Pennsylvania. Many of the allegations are decades old, so why are SD and other Pennsylvanians coming forward now? And is it too late for them to get justice? Today on The Why, the Boy Scouts' dishonor.
So the Boy Scouts have been dealing with abuse allegations for decades, but specifically since 2012, there's been an uptick in lawsuits because of files that came out in an Oregon lawsuit, and also through reporting by the LA Times and other news outlets that obtained a cache of documents that are known as the ineligible volunteer files, also known as the perversion files.
We'll show you how a well-intentioned idea to protect young boys sometimes succeeded only in keeping what had happened to them under wraps, a secret list that became a list of secrets.
These are internal Boy Scout documents that detail allegations of abuse against their scout leaders. And they contain things like police reports, letters written by boys to their scout leaders telling them how they hurt them, you know, complaints from parents.
And how far does this go back, Nick?
The Boy Scouts started keeping these documents about 100 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And so it was designed as a way to vet candidates that wanted to be volunteers. It was sort of conceived as a way, we're going to protect our scouts because we have this blacklist of people we know have issues and they shouldn't be around kids. But what it's turned into recently is a documentation of all the steps that the Boy Scouts didn't take in a lot of cases to make sure that scout leaders weren't around kids that had problems.
So evidence of a cover-up.
Yes, that's certainly what these lawsuits are alleging. There have been lawsuits that emerged in the last few years based on those documents, but the reason we're talking about SD today is that he's the first of what could be a wave of new lawsuits based on actually a series of advertisements launched across the country on TV by a group of attorneys.
On TV.
It happened in thousands of scout troops across America. For decades, countless innocent children were sexually molested by adult scout leaders.
These are like the grainy personal injury ads you see late at night.
If you were abused in a scouting program, you are not alone. Come forward and get the help and healing you deserve.
Apparently, they've been effective because 800 men have come forward with new allegations against the Boy Scouts.
Wow. That seems like a weird way to raise awareness. Why did the lawyers run those ads?
They say they were compelled to run these ads based on reports that emerged last year that the Boy Scouts were considering bankruptcy. They've had dwindling enrollment or membership and also have incurred incredible costs fighting these lawsuits. And the lawyers feel like if bankruptcy is declared, they want people to be set up and in a good position to make a claim. Because in bankruptcy proceedings, the Boy Scouts and the courts will set a deadline. Anyone with a claim has to come forward in about a year. So the attorneys launch these ads to get clients lined up so that they're ready to go if and when that occurs.
So they can identify as many people as possible.
Exactly.
So, Nick, I'm wondering about the 40 Pennsylvania allegations. A lot of them, like SD's case, happened decades ago. What about the statute of limitations here?
That's a great question. And that was actually my first question when I saw the SD case, because Pennsylvania specifically has notoriously been slow to change the statute of limitations to allow child victims from the 70s, like SD, or around that time period in the 80s, 90s, whenever, to file suit against the Catholic Church or the Boy Scouts or other abusers. Typically, a child under current law has only until they're 30 years old to file a claim. It's a really fascinating time for these lawsuits to come forward because there was just a decision at the Superior Court level in Pennsylvania that opens the door to these types of lawsuits.
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. We're talking to WHYY reporter Nick Pugliese about potential sexual abuse lawsuits against the Boy Scouts of America and a lawsuit that may impact the statute of limitations in Pennsylvania. So tell me about that ruling. What happened?
So that case was filed by a woman named Renee Rice. She says she was a child in the 1970s and 1980s when she was abused by a priest in the Diocese of Altoona Johnstown out near Pittsburgh. She didn't bring her case until after a grand jury report in 2016 found evidence of abuse and a cover-up by the church in that diocese over the course of the previous decades. So the question before the court at that point was, does Renee Rice have the right to bring a lawsuit decades later? Renee Rice's lawyer, Alan Parer, says the Catholic Church argues no.
You know you were abused. You know you were abused by the priest. You know when it happened. You know he was employed by the diocese. So therefore, you know, you had all that information. But what we didn't know was that there was an intentional fraud, concealment, cover-up by the diocese.
And what they said was that because she's alleging a cover-up by the church, what's called fraudulent concealment, essentially, they knew of the abuse and they didn't tell her, and no one knew about it until the grand jury report came out in 2016. That's when the statute of limitations actually began.
That's when it kicks in.
And so she had 2 years from the time she learned about the grand jury report through a news article, and she filed the lawsuit within that time frame, and the court said she has a right to bring that case, and the jury is the one that should decide whether she brought the case in a reasonable amount of time, not a judge. It took decades for all this information to come out. So how could this one woman reasonably have known to bring a lawsuit any earlier than she did?
Wow, this sounds really important. Does this case set a precedent?
So the attorneys involved in the Rice case certainly think it does. And Stuart Eisenberg, who's representing SD in the Boy Scout case, is relying on pretty much all the concepts from the Rice case to make his case work. And I asked him what he thought the scope of the impact was, and he thinks hundreds of new cases could be brought forward based on the Rice decision.
It could open the door for a lot of people to bring cases if they can prove that they didn't know any of this existed.
So, unlike the Catholic Church case, there wasn't a grand jury report in the Boy Scout suit. So how does that work exactly?
So this brings us back to the late-night, grainy personal injury advertisements we were talking about before.
Even if you've been told that you were too late for justice, new laws may allow you a path to significant financial compensation.
He says that's the equivalent of the grand jury report in this case. So the men who are at home watching TV, and they see this ad that essentially says, were you abused in the Boy Scouts? You are not alone. In fact, there was a cover-up by the Boy Scouts, and they could have protected you. They didn't. And that, for Stuart Eisenberg, is the triggering event that starts the statute of limitations anew.
In the Rice case, it was the publishing of the grand jury report. And in our case, it's people seeing the public service announcement or the advertisement that we ran on TV.
Mm-hmm. So SD, he thinks, should have 2 years from the time he saw that ad to bring the case, as should other victims of child sex abuse at the hands of the Scouts or the church in Pennsylvania.
What do the Boy Scouts of America say about all this?
So when I reached out to them for comment, they first of all apologized to Esty and every former scout who may have been harmed in their time in scouting. And they admitted that they didn't always live up to the values of their organization. And they also laid out a number of steps they've taken to add protections to their organizations. And these are things like mandatory criminal background checks for every volunteer in the organization, a rule that adults can never be in a one-on-one contact with children, including in internet interactions or via texting. So they definitely have taken steps. And in fact, based on information they received from the attorneys that got the allegations, the Boy Scouts of America said they've made 120 referrals to law enforcement agencies based on that information.
So when will we know if SD and other alleged victims will be permitted to sue?
Well, this has to work through the courts, and it's still early in SD's process. It's going to depend on how successful his attorneys are in taking the concepts from the Rice case out in Altoona, Johnstown, and applying it to the Boy Scouts. It's a new legal theory that hasn't been tested. It's possible for this precedent to be overturned by a full panel at the Superior Court level or even by the state Supreme Court. And not every case brought on this legal theory will be successful, probably. It really depends on the facts in the case.
So things could look really different in Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. This could change a lot here. And that's just Pennsylvania. I mean, we're not even talking about the other states. Just this week, on Wednesday, August 14th in New York, they're opening up a one-year window for any victim of child sexual abuse to sue, regardless of when that happened. They're they're throwing the statute of limitations out the window for a full year. In New Jersey, starting December 1st, people will have a two-year window to sue if they were abused as a child or as an adult. And so there's this shifting legal landscape in a lot of states that's sort of born of increased awareness about systemic abuses and cover-ups by some of these organizations that I think are changing lawmakers' minds across the country and making them more amenable to amending their statute of limitations.
Well, Nick, thank you for the information and for coming in today.
It's been a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Annette.
Nick Pugliese is a reporter for WHYY. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov and Alex Stern, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Tweet me, @AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll be back Monday.